ॐ हरिः ॐ तत्सत् श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ सदाशिवसमारम्भाम् व्यासशङ्करमध्यमाम् अस्मदाशिनो बृहस्पतिर्दधातु ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः. इन् मुण्डकोपनिषद् वि सा in the last class the glorification of a wise person, which is actually a glorification of knowledge itself. A person as a jnani is glorified here, that jnani, until his paradha karma gets over, he'll be alive as a jivan muktaha. So he has no punyam or papam, and until the jnana, until his samadhi, until his brahmaikyam, until he leaves his physical body, whatever karma a jnani does also, that is definitely for the sake of the world, for the wellness of the world. But jnani's karma is said to be karma abhasaha, which means jnana, it is as though karma, not real karma. Because for jnani, there's no punyam or papam, because there's no doership on the part of the jnani. But that punyam, Shastram says, other people can share by doing namaskaram to him. We can share his punyam, because that is the karma phalam of doing namaskaram to a person who is Ishvara. Ishvara is not a jnani, but a jnani is Ishvara. Because of his Aikya Jnanam, because of his seeing himself being non-separate from Bhagavan, a Jnani is Ishvara. Therefore, it is said, we saw last class, Bhuti Kamaha Atmajnam Archayet. Bhuti Kamaha, one who is desirous of any Artha or Kama, any wealth or any pleasure, any worldly ends, in keeping with the need, if a person has, if he does namaskaram to a wise person, a jnani, a person can share jnani's punyam, that he can accomplish his desires fulfilled. So jnani's punyam will help the devotee disciple who falls at his feet to share it, to fulfill his ends. That's why Atmajnaha is a wise person, one who knows Atmanam Janati iti Atmajnaha. Bhuti Kamaha, one who is desirous of wealth, Archayet, one should, this Bhuti Kamaha should worship the Jnani to get his desires fulfilled. That we saw that last class. I think long ago we saw. And now we also saw who can really have that Jnanam. Who can have that glory of being a jnani? Who is the one who can have that wisdom, jnanam? Who is fortunate? Who can enjoy that fortune of, greatest fortune of being blessed with the vision of Atma? Who is that? It was said, Nayam Atma Balahinena Labhyaha. A weak person cannot attain jnanam. Who is a weak person? Shastram does not say the person who is thin, physically very weak. He is not the weak person according to Shastram. The weak person is the one who is a slave of his own body, mind, sense complex. The weakness implied here is the slavery to one's own body, mind, sense complex is a slavery. And having mastery over one's own body, mind, sense complex is said to be the weak strength and a strong person. That's the first qualification Shastram says. So having mastery over one's body, mind, sense complex, which is said to be a strength, and the person who has it is strong, and he alone, for him alone, Atma is available, means in a short, in brief, we can say, person who lives a life of karma yoga definitely is the one who has mastery over his body, mind, sense complex. He has needs like other people, but still he will not compromise with dharma for anything. That strength of not compromising with dharma is really make him the strong person, that he has mastery over his body, mind, sense complex. Such a person can accomplish, a strong person can really accomplish jnanam. So we saw that last class. We have to move on to the next mantra today. Samprapyainam rishayo jnana triptaha. Correct? Samprapyainam rishayo jnana triptaha. Kritatmano vitaragah prashantaha. Te sarvagam sarvatah prapya dhiraha. Yuktatmana sarvameva vishanti. Samprapyainam rishayo jnana triptaha. Kritatmano vitaragah prashantaha. Te sarvagam sarvatah prapya dhiraha. Yuktatmana sarvameva vishanti. It's a beautiful mantra, very beautiful mantra. Now you can see Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has taken all the words from Upanishads. If you know these words, you know the words in Bhagavad Gita also. Lots of words are used in Bhagavad Gita by Krishna. Anyway, so here, sarvam eva avishanti. If you take the word sarvam eva avishanti, the last word, avishanti is the verb. So vishanti, pravishanti, avishanti, with the prefix, without prefix also mean the same. Enter. Enter is a plural verb. Avishati, avishataha, avishanti. Pravishati, pravishataha, pravishanti. Vishati, vishataha, vishanti. Means the same. Enter. Who enter here? Or whom do they enter into? Sarvam avishanti. Sarvam avishanti. Sarvam is here. Object of enter. Sarvaha here is Bhagavan. One of the names of the Lord is Sarvaha. Why? The one who is in the form of everything that is here is Sarvaha. Sarvam means everything. One who is in the form of Sarvam, everything, is Sarvaha. So Sarvam Avishanti means people enter into Bhagavan. Again, entering into Bhagavan means not physical entrance. Physically, you cannot enter into Bhagavan and become just disappear in Bhagavan. Not physical entrance, physical entry. The enter into Bhagavan means once you enter somewhere, you become hidden. You are not there anymore. Here also, the people who enter into Bhagavan become one with Bhagavan. They are there as Bhagavan. They remain non-separate from Bhagavan. Entered, like how when the river flows towards the ocean, once the river enters into the ocean, river enters into the ocean, entry is there. After entry, what happens? There's no more river. River loses its identity of being the river. Okay, losing one's identity. Losing one's identity is what? Entering into Bhagavan. Like what? Just as river enters into the ocean, loses its identity of being the river, and now river is no more. And what is there is only ocean. You can't say river has no identity with the ocean. No, river is not there. Only ocean is there. Like that, the wise people also, the people who discover Bhagavan, says Swarupam of Bhagavan, as their own Swarupam. Bhagavan Swarupam is their own Swarupam. Not two different Swarupams. Same Swarupam. Having discovered Bhagavan Swarupam as their own Swarupam in their own mind as a Swarupam of I, the knower, those people understand this unique fact of themselves being essentially non-different, non-separate from Bhagavan, the whole. The people who are being endowed with this vision of one's own self being non-different from Bhagavan is said to where they are Bhagavan, no more individuality. What happens to individuality, even though the person lives in this world as an individual, being endowed with the body, mind, sense complex, still cognitively this person has resolved his individuality in totality Bhagavan. You know, he's Bhagavan himself. Sarvam avishanti, okay. It's called aveshaha, it's called entry. In Tamil, aveshaha means, aveshamaha peshinar means people talk very angrily, okay, or very aggressively. It is not Tamil avesha, okay. It is Sanskrit aveshaha. Because in Tamil Nadu, avesha means, that Ravi knows what is Tamil Nadu avesha. Okay, so, that's why it is called avesha. It is called aveshaha, entry into Bhagavan. They're disappearing, losing one's identity, just remaining as Bhagavan is avesha. Okay, who avishanti is, who are the people who remain one with Bhagavan? He says, Rishayaha. You see the first word, Rishayaha. Who are the rishis here? The rishihi is the seer. Rishati janati iti rishihi. The seer is called rishihi. But seer of what? No, not the one who sees through physical eyes. All of us, whoever has keen vision, are seers of the light and the worldly things. But rishis are those who see through subtle mind what cannot be seen by others. Rishis see in the light of, through the eye of knowledge, they see what others cannot see through physical eyes. They see much more than what others see. Therefore, they are rishis and rishayaha. Here rishis here are in Vedantic context, rishayaha are those who see Paramatma Swarupam. Everywhere those who see only Paramatma Swarupam. It is like saying, today I'll tell you something very beautiful also. See, if you see ocean, you are not seeing the water. If you see the water, then you can't see the ocean. What happened? The one who sees ocean also is right. He's relatively right. But who is absolutely right is the one who sees water. A person who sees the water, he resolves the ocean and rivers cognitively in that ocean, in that water. Similarly, for Ajnani, what is world is for Ajnani is Brahma, Atma, one's own manifestation. So, such a person is this rishihi here, seer, one who sees the truth as one's own Swarupam. But seeing the truth of the whole as one's own Swarupam, Bhagavan Swarupam, one who sees everything as Bhagavan, one who sees as one's own manifestation. I am the whole. Wherever he sees, whatever he sees is only Bhagavan. In that Bhagavan, he himself is not there. World is also not there. Such a person is the rishihi here. The rishihi here. Not one rishi, many rishayaha. Rishayaha. Rishihi rishi rishayaha. Is a bahuvachana shabdaha. Rishayaha. Yenam, yenam samprapya. Rishayaha yenam samprapya. Having attained this Bhagavan's Swarupam, having discovered Swarupam of Bhagavan, the Atma, Brahma, where samprapya, having clearly understood. Aptihi means attainment. Praptihi also means definite attainment. Sampraptihi means doubtlessly attaining. So samprapya, having clearly, doubtlessly ascertained vision of the swarupam of the whole, obtaining as one's own self. Rishayaha, samprapya, samprapnoti is the verb. Samprapya, having obtained doubtlessly, clearly the vision of the swarupam of the whole Brahma as one's own self. those people. Rishayaha yenam samprapya. Yenam means this atma obtained reality, obtaining as the nearest self, as the very surupam of I. Those rishayaha jnana triptaha. See, satisfied with the wisdom. Those who are absolutely satisfied as a result of jnanam. See, people triptaha. Triptaha is a tripta. Actually, the word is, you can say tripti, a noun. And tarpayati makes other person satisfied. So tripyate is satisfied. And tarpayati satisfies other person. Tripta is a participle. Satisfied, tripta. But triptaha, adjective, the satisfied person. Tripti adaindavan. Tripti padutta pattavan. Is triptaha, one who is satisfied. And the satisfied people, if anything else satisfies a person, that satisfaction will go immediately. It won't stay very long. When you are very hungry, you eat food. After eating food, you feel very satisfied. Especially when you have very good food, you will be very satisfied. How long will satisfaction remain? For another 4 hours, 6 hours. The satisfaction goes. Like that, anything or any amount of artha you have, you feel satisfied, satisfaction will go. Enjoyment of pleasures, you will feel satisfied temporarily. Then, oh, I enjoyed very well today. No, satisfaction will go. Satisfaction gained through possession or enjoyment, accomplishment of any other pursuit, artha, kama, even dharma. I have done so much of service to the world, dharma also. Even that satisfaction will be what? Then always be dissatisfaction. Satisfaction will result in dissatisfaction. So, absolute satisfaction, irrespective of what you have, what you do not have, what you have accomplished, what you have not accomplished, now what you are, what you are not, irrespective of anything, just this vision of Bhagavan, Swarupam of Bhagavan, the whole obtaining as one's own Swarupam. And this vision, ascertained clear vision, samprapti, jnana samprapti, blesses a person with satisfaction. That is the absolute satisfaction. The absolute satisfaction means naturally the person, absolute satisfaction born of the sense of completeness, sense of absolute security. The sense of completeness, purnatvam, is possible only when a person discovers oneself being non-separate from the whole. As long as we do not understand this fact, the isolation and alienation is inseparable. As long as isolation and alienation is there, definitely there will be in sense of incompleteness. The sense of incompleteness settled on I will keep a person continuously incomplete, 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 therefore dissatisfaction. Here, irrespective of what a person achieved or not also, a person has a sense of completeness in discovering the fullness. In discovering the fullness means in seeing oneself being non-separate from the whole. Where isolation is resolved, rejection is resolved. Therefore, jnana triptaha. So, yenam atmanam rishayaha samprapya jnana triptaha. And those are the people kritatmanaha. Kritatmanaha means krita atmanaha. The people of accomplishment. Kritatmanaha are those who have discovered reality obtaining as one's own self, thereby people of accomplishment. Kritatmanaha. Sadhane purindavarkal. Kritatmanaha. So, people of absolute satisfaction, you see the order, beautiful order. The vision of the self makes them feel absolutely satisfied. And being blessed with absolute satisfaction is what? Is a real accomplishment. Kritatmanaha means people of accomplishment. Okay. Who are they? Vitaragaha, prashantaha. And such people, because they're already absolutely satisfied, a sense of completeness. Therefore, they are the people of accomplishment, which means that nothing needs to be accomplished by them, anything anymore, for satisfaction, for anything. If absolute satisfaction is there, if they're reveling in fullness, the sense of completeness, then they are not dependent on anything, action or result of action or anything else for their happiness or security. And such people, vitaragaha, naturally they become free from all forms of desires, attachment. They are vitaragaha means those who are absolutely free from passion and dispassion. They have no dispassion towards anything. They neither have passion towards anything. Absolutely dispassionate people are said to be those who are free from both passion and dispassion. Nothing. Why all the desires become resolved? Because having grown out of desires for anything is as good as having fulfilled those desires. They're absolutely free from attachment. Vitaragaha. Free from attachment means they are absolutely independent of world, people, Bhagavan, anything for their happiness and security. They're absolutely self-dependent people. They are of the nature of self-dependence. And then prashantaha. So absolute peace. They're absolutely tranquil minded. Because they're free from passion, free from attachment. They're absolutely independent of the world and Bhagavan also. Because for them, Bhagavan is their swarupam. Such people are non-disturbable mentally because they're completely tranquil minded. There's no raga, there's no vesha, there's no krodha, there's no lobha, there's no moha, there's no mada, there's no matsaryam. So no emotion can rise and disturb the tranquility. All the emotions are resolved for good because of the sense of completeness, because of the absolute satisfaction, because of the vision of the self, because of the freedom from attachment, all that contribute for absolute peacefulness. Peace of mind, the prashantaha, absolutely tranquil. Shantaha means tranquil minded, tranquil person. But here prashantaha, absolutely peaceful person. And those people, those jnanis, te sarvagam sarvataha prapya. Here, Bhagavan is sarvagaha. Bhagavan sarup means sarvagam brahma. So, sarvagam prapya, sarvataha prapya. And because of their sarupam, now because of their identity with Paramatma sarupam, the all-pervasive reality Atma, they attain Bhagavan, having discovered Bhagavan as the one who is all pervasive. Sarvagaha sarvatra gachati iti sarvagaha. The one who goes everywhere means the one who is all pervasive. Sarvagam prapya. When they discover sarupa, reality as one's own sarupam, as a result of which they see the same reality being the reality of Bhagavan the whole. So they also sarvagam sarvataha prapya. Means they see only Bhagavan everywhere. Sarvataha from everywhere on all sides having got Bhagavan, all pervasive Bhagavan, obtaining as one their own sarupam. Such people, they are Yukta Atmanaha. Yukta Atmanaha. Yukta Atmanaha means those people of togetherness. People of togetherness means those whose minds are undisturbably resolved. Yukta Atmanaha means those people whose minds are undisturbably resolved, means people of undisturbable peace. That is the meaning actually. Same meaning. So Yukta Atmanaha means Samahita Chittaha. Samahita Chittaha. As an absolutely integrated minded. Such people, Samahita Chittaha, Yukta Atmanaha, Dhiraha. One more word is Dhiraha. And these people are really brave people, Dhiraha. Only in Mundaka Upanishad, when I heard from Swamiji, and the Swamiji, I heard this meaning. I loved the meaning. Dhiraha is wise person. Dhiraha in Tamil also, we have the word Dhiran, Dhiran. Dhiraha means a brave person, courageous person. But Shastram says, a courageous, brave person is the wise person. Any mortuttanamana, so-called brave, courageous person is not a wise person, but wise person is absolutely brave and courageous. Therefore, wise person is called Dhiraha, because Dhihi means intellect and Rati means protects. Dhihi, intellect. Rati means protects. Rati, just the, only one small verb. Dhiyam Rati iti Dhiraha. Dhiyam Rati iti Dhiraha. Dhiyam is objective case. Dhihi, nominative. Dhiyam, objective case. So, one who protects his intellect is called Dhiraha. The person who protects his intellect, protector of his intellect, one's own mind, is called Dhiraha. The really brave, courageous person is the protector of the intellect, protector of the mind. See, one who loses his intellect, one who destroys his intellect, is the weakest person. Whereas one who protects his intellect is the bravest person, courageous person. Why? How does he protect? Because absolute protection is fearlessness, security, you know, absolute satisfaction, non-disturbability by any external situation. They're all symptoms of bravery, you know, we can understand. They're all expressions of bravery. And the wise person who has understood what is subject to change, what cannot be prevented from change, he knows very clearly. What cannot be prevented from change, he knows. What cannot be prevented from change and what cannot be changed at all. What cannot be prevented from change, what cannot be changed at all. This person knows. Understands the fact, accepts the fact, and he lives in the vision of that fact, which means he knows, I am absolutely Atma, unchangeable, indestructible. At the same time, nothing is created, nothing is destroyed, but it is still the entire objective universe, which is seemingly there, though absolutely not there. The seemingly real world cannot be prevented from changing. So, as a mature individual who understands the fact of what is Satyam and Mithya, what change on the part of Mithya is inevitable, even though it is relatively real, and absolutely unchangeable, unchanging, everlasting reality is Atma, which is one's own Swarupam. The person who has understood this fact is the one who has protected his mind. Because the person of fearlessness, the person of undisturbable mind, unshakable mind, and he is it because of the vision, and he is said to be the protector of the mind, who is free from fear of fear. Very fear has gone from him for good. Such a person is a Dhiraha. So Dhiraha, okay, Sarvam eva avishanti, they remain as Bhagavan, one with Bhagavan, as the whole. They resolved their duality, multiplicity, plurality cognitively. who live in this world of duality, relatively real duality, world of duality, they live here with the vision of absolutely real non-duality. Vision of non-duality. This is the meaning of this mantra. Beautiful, isn't it? Okay. Samprapyainam rishayo jnana triptaha kritatmano vitaragav prashantaha te sarvagam sarvatav prapyadhiraha yuktatmana sarvameva vishanti. Okay, we'll move on to the next mantra. If you understand, in the second chapter Bhagavad Gita, wherever Jnani Lakshmi is described, Krishna has taken, left everything from here. Not only here, all Upanishads. Nainam chindanti shastrani na jayate mriyate va kadachit na nitya sarvagata sthanuh. Like that, dukkeshu anudvigna manaha sukeshu. We, all the verses have their basis in this, these verses. Okay. What's next verse in the book?
Vedanta Vidnana.
Okay. I had doubt, so I asked. Okay. Veda. Okay, this is a mantra we recite for when sannyasis come, we recite this mantra to receive them. So always, I cannot chant it regularly, okay? This is how I will chant. Vedanta Vidnana Sunischitarthaha. Vedanta vijnana sunischitartha. Correct? Okay. Sanyasa yogad yataya shuddha sattva aha. Sanyasa yogad yataya shuddha sattva aha. Te brahma lokeshu. Parantakale paramrutav parimuchyanti sarve. This is the most known, well-known mantra recited to receive a sannyasi. Actually, as you said, the mantras actually occur in Yajurveda. In Taittiriya Aranyakam, in the 10th chapter, in Mahanarayana Upanishad, the 10th chapter of Taittiriya Aranyakam is called Mahanarayana Upanishad. In that Upanishad, we come across many mantras, four mantras are there, which are used there. This is also one of the mantras. So this mantra which comes in Taittiriya Aranyakam, 10th chapter in Mahanarayana Upanishad, is here as part of the Mundaka Upanishad. Okay. Now what does it say? It says, Vedanta Vijnana Sunischitarthaha Sanyasa Yogad Shuddha Sattvaha Yatayaha Te Brahma Lokeshu Parantakale Paramrutaha Parimuchyanti sarve. Okay, what is the verb here? Parimuchyanti. Parimuchyanti is the verb. Okay, parimuchyanti. Pari is the prefix. I mean, parimuchyanti, they become free. They attain moksha. That's the meaning. Parimuchyanti sarve. And who are the people who become free, who attain moksha? Vedanta Vijnana Sunischita Arthaha. Vedanta Vijnana Sunischita Arthaha. I guess a compound word. Sunischitaha Arthaha Yena. The one by whom, the one for whom the meaning has become The Vedanta meaning has become clear. The one who has ascertained knowledge of the meaning of the Veda, Vedanta Shastram. Vedanta Vijnanam. Vedanta Vijnanam means knowledge of the Vedanta. And Sunischita Artha means the person who has clear, doubt-free, ascertained knowledge of the subject matter of the Vedanta. Subject matter of the Vedanta is called Vedanta Vijnana Sunischita Artha. So Vedanta Shastrasya Vijnanasya Sunischita Artha means those who have clear, doubt-free, ascertained vision of object matter of the Veda Shastram, Vedanta. Okay. Vedanta Vijnana Sunischita Artha. And then these people are Yatayaha. Yatayaha means people of, Yatihi means a sannyasi. Yatayaha is a plural of sannyasinaha. But why sannyasi is called Yatihi? Yatihi literally means Yaha Yatnam Karoti Saha Yatihi. The one who makes effort is called Yatihi. And which effort? The one who makes, one who has the knowledge of means and ends. The one who has clear knowledge of means and ends. Thereby, one who has knowledge of priorities. One who knows what his priorities are. Thereby, one who makes appropriate, adequate efforts to accomplish his ends. He is called Yatihi, Sannyasi, Yatihi. He is not making foolish efforts, no, foolishly. He makes appropriate efforts. He makes adequate efforts. Especially because he has a clear knowledge of means and ends. He is called Yatihi. Yatayaha Yatihi, Sannyasi. So, Ved Yatayaha, that person. Shuddha Sattvaha. Sattvam means mind, Shuddham means pure. So pure minded, Shuddham Sattvam Yesham, Te Shuddha Sattvaha, Tuya Manadinar, Shuddha Sattvaha, pure minded people. How do they become pure minded? Sannyasa Yogat. Sannyasa Yogat means being given to the discipline of Sannyasa Yoga. It's a Jnana Yoga. By living a life of sannyasa, being given the discipline of jnana yoga, being continuously given to the discipline of shravanam, mananam, nididhyasanam. And even before coming to jnana yoga, by living a life, a clean life of karma yoga, prayerful, worshipful life of karma yoga, by living a life of meditation. So by living a life of meditative, worshipful, prayerful life of karma yoga, going through the discipline of jnana yoga also, these people who are pure minded, those people, pure minded. Okay. They are Sannyasa Yoga, therefore pure minded people. This implies what? Shuddha Sattvaha. They are pure minded because they were given to strictly the way of life enjoined by the Shastram. That's all. You need not do anything specially to become pure minded. Just strictly following the way of life enjoined by the Shastram itself makes a person pure minded. But living that life itself is what? Involves commitment, Shraddha. Shraddha in the Shastram, commitment to live a life that is because of the Shraddha it is possible. And then, because of the knowledge of, clear knowledge of means and ends. Because clear knowledge of priorities. Therefore, Sannyasa Yoga Yatiya Shuddha Sattvaha Te para antakaleshu antakaleshu means what? The time of antakalaha means time of death kal antakalaha antakalaha time of death. So for a person to become pure minded by strictly living life enjoined by the shastram implies living a clean life of karma yoga, following dharma, etc. That means this person also must have gone through other ashramas also. Therefore, as a result of which they're able to go through other disciplines, that is how they become Vedanta Vijnana Sunischita Arthaha. They become people of clear, ascertained knowledge of Vedantic teaching, Vedanta Jnanam. Those people, Antakaleshu, Para Antakaleshu. What is Antakalaha and Para Antakalaha? Antakala means time of death, end of life. It's called Antakalaha. So, Para Antakaleshu, Parakale, Antakale, Parantakale. See, for everybody, death comes. Everybody, there's Antakalaha. But for a Jnani, Kalaha, Antakalaha is what? Not ordinary Antakalaha, Parantakalaha. What is the difference? Antakalaha, Parantakalaha. Every individual who dies, he has Antakala, death time of death. He dies, but he has to come back again. Okay, dies ajnani, dies as an ajnani person, he comes back again. Antakala again has adhikala. Antakala has again adhikala. Whereas a jnani's death is final death. Why? This is the last death. He will not come back. After exhausting the parabdha, jnani will not come back, assuming a new body. Again, he will not be born again. Therefore, it's a final death. Parantakalaha. For an ajnani person, antakalaha is not parantakalaha. Antakalaha, which is going to have again adhikala. Again, there'll be a beginning of new life with the new body. New samsara life will begin. But for a jnani, it's the final. After the parabdha is over, when he leaves the physical body, he will not assume a body again. Therefore, it is parantakalaha. Which means, this is going, now the jnani already is living as a jivan muktaha. And once he leaves the physical body, when the parabdha gets over, he will have videha muktihi. He will not be born again. Therefore, it is parantakalaha. Now, te brahma lokeshu. So here, brahma lokaha does not mean Hiranyagarbha lokaha. Because a jnani, a jivan muktaha who has jnanam, this person is death is going to be final death means he will not be born again. Therefore, okay, Brahma lokaha does not mean Hiranyagarbha lokaha, but Brahma lokaha is the world of consciousness. The world of consciousness means the world of absolute reality. His own swarupam. One's own swarupam is said to be here Brahma lokaha. No, Brahma lokaha. Okay, Brahma lokeshu parantakaleshu. It becomes what now? Parantakale parimuchyanti. He becoming one with the Brahman. Remaining one with Brahman, remaining as Brahman, the Paramatma, they become free from bondage of samsara for good. Parimuchyanti sarve. This is the meaning of this mantra. Okay. Te brahma lokeshu para antakale paramrutaha. So amrutaha means immortal. But para amrutaha means absolute, they remain as one with Brahman, as absolutely immortal people. Absolutely immortal are those who leave the physical body as Jivan Muktas, attain Videha Muktihi. Therefore, this death is the final death. They will not come back again into this world. Say, Paramrutaha Parimuchyanti. They're liberated for good. Parimuchyanti, they become liberated for good, and because they revel, they remain one with Param Brahma. They remain as Brahma, Param Brahma forever. Okay, liberated for good. Paramrutaha, remain absolutely immortal forever. This is the about the jnanam. Vedanta vijnana sunischitarthaha sanyasa yogat sattushuddhaha yatayaha brahmalokeshu te paramtakale paramrutaha parimuchyanti sarve. Gatah kalah panchadasha pratishth. It's a beautiful mantra again. Gatah kalah panchadasha pratishtha. Pratishtha. Devascha sarve pratidevatasu. Devascha sarve pratidevatasu. Karmani vijnanamayascha atma parevyaye sarve yeki bhavanti. I'll repeat again. Gatah kalah panchadasha pratishtha. Devascha sarve pratidevatasu. Karmani vijnanamayascha atma parevyaye sarve yeki bhavanti. See, people are very curious. Okay, the wise person, after leaving the body, he remains as Brahma forever, as absolutely immortal. And he, there's a final death, no more coming back, Videha Mukti, fine. What happens to his body? What happens to his mind? What happens to his sense organs? You're so keen to know what happens to all of them. Hey, all of them will dissolve. That is what's going to be said here. Okay, don't worry, Prabhuji, keep on listening. Become, things will become clear. Okay, see, Radhaji has put all the recordings. Start listening to people, whoever is very new. I tell you, you are very intelligent people. You can follow this, no problem. All better to listen to the introductory talks also. To have all the, because then it will be easy for you to see what is being said. Okay. He says what he says. Panchadasha kalaha. But we have shodasha kalaha. Okay. 16 kalas we say. But here, panchadasha kalaha, pratishthaha, devascha sarve, prati devatasu, karmani vijnanamayascha atma, pare avyaye, yeki bhavanti. What happens to the sukshma shariram of the jiva? No more jiva, jivatam has gone. See, manifestation of consciousness remains one with Paramatma. Then physical body gets disintegrated. Even a jnani's body will not go anywhere. A jnani's body, all the bodies, irrespective of whose body it is, all the bodies will get disintegrated and remain as elements here itself. Remain as elements. It's called panchatva praptihi, becoming one with elements. From elements we came, again disintegration, remaining as elements for the physical body. So manifestation, manifesting medium goes, remains one. What happens to your face if when a mirror in front of you is removed? What happens to the reflection of the face in the mirror? Nothing happens. When the mirror is taken away, what happens to the reflection of your face? Nothing happens. Your reflection will remain one with the source of reflection. Like that, aham vrittihi, aham jnanam, you know, that manifest remains as one with Bhagavan, one with Swarupam. But what happens to the sense organs and mind? That is what is said here. Listen. So, panchadasha kalaha. So, kala literally means a digit. It's called a kala. Amshaha, part. Kala also means a part. Amshaha. Okay. So in this mantra, Videha Muktihi, people want to understand what is Videha Muktihi. The Videha Muktihi is beautifully explained in this mantra. Which is this mantra you cannot find anywhere else. Okay, clear explanation of what is Videha Muktihi. Actually, Videha Muktihi is a beautiful process. That is explained here. Because like any individual human being, Ajnani or Ajnani, everybody is a composition of both Anatma and Atma aspects. A mixture of two, both. That is why in Vidyaranya Swami says in Drittishi Veka, I taught you long ago, I don't know whether you remember or not, when he talks about the mind, what is antahkaranam? How antahkaranam is mixed with the consciousness? He says, ayah taptayah pindavat, the well-heated iron ball. An iron ball heated in fire becomes hot and brilliant. So you cannot separably blend, once inseparably becomes one with the fire, the iron ball. Similarly, mind is also conscious. Because of its manifestation of consciousness. That is how the whole body becomes conscious and sentient. Now, every individual human being is composite of two aspects, consciousness and matter. Atma and Anatma. So, Atma is actually of the nature of pure consciousness, which is pure existence, and which is actually of the nature of limitlessness. Which is the same reality of the whole, every being, everything here, the entire universe, which is all pervasive. So this Atma is distinct from the body mind's complex. It is not a part of the body mind's complex. It is not the product of the body mind's complex. It is not the property of the body mind's complex. It is completely distinct, vilakshanam, distinct from the body mind's complex. And this pure consciousness pervades the entire body, mind, and complex. But even though it is pervading entire body, mind, and complex, in and through, it is not anywhere limited by the peripheries of the body, mind, and complex. Which means it goes beyond it because it pervades everything just as obtaining an enclosure called pot is not limited by the pot enclosure. Because in fact, pot itself exists in space. Similarly, here consciousness, in consciousness, body exists. Body, mind, and complex enjoys its existence. Therefore, naturally, consciousness pervades everything. The only thing is, this consciousness obtaining as a rupam of the individual, pervading the entire body, mind, and complex, is available for transaction, available for recognition in the form of knowledge, in the form of functions, in the form of life, in the form of growth, in the form of the order backing the functions, etc. But once after the death, when the body falls apart, when the physical body falls apart, the same consciousness is not available for interaction, not available for transaction. So the non-transactable, non-interactable consciousness, Atma, is mistaken to be what? Non-existent. Because we say poetar, the person has gone away. He is not gone anywhere. He is very much there. Why? The person is not interactable, contactable, transactable. I cannot go and ask for, uncle, please get me rye bread from little shop when you are going. I cannot ask, that is not possible. Because that interaction is, interactability is not there. Therefore, mistake, the person is non-existent. That's a pain. Okay. But here, what we have to understand is Atma. What about the Anatma? Anatma alone is divided into three bodies. Three bodies are, what are three bodies? Sthula Shariram, Sukshma Shariram, Karana Shariram. These three again can be divided into what? Either you can say three bodies or you can say five koshas, pancha koshas. As Annamaya Koshaha, Pranamaya Koshaha, Manamaya Koshaha, Vijnanamaya Koshaha, Anandamaya Kosha. Like you can say five koshas. Anyway, doesn't matter how you divide, doesn't matter. These all three are, this is the Anatma aspect. Non-self. Anatma means, so Atma is of the nature of consciousness. Anatma is of the nature of inertness. That which is of the nature of inertness alone is said to be Anatma or matter or material manifest, material products. Now this physical body becomes disintegrated. Atma remains immortal. No problem. Everybody's Atma remains immortal only. But what happens to Sukshma, which returns, which repeats every time? That is the resolution of Sukshma for good is called Videha Muktihi. For Ajnani also, Atma is absolutely indestructible. Atma is relatively destructible. Body is relatively destructible. But Sukshma alone, mind alone comes back indestructibly. What happens? So Jnani's mind, that is said here, is called understanding the Videha Mukti. The Karana Shariram is resolved. What is Karana Shariram? Ajnanam. Ajnanam also will be resolved. Because now the Jnani is no more Ajnani. Therefore, Karana Shariram is resolved for good. Therefore, if the Karana Shariram is not there, Sukshma cannot survive. For Sthula survival, Sthulam is dependent on Sukshma. Sukshma is dependent on Karanam. Now, Karanam is not destroyed. Karanam is resolved in its own Swarupam. All other Shastram talk about 16. Shodasha Kala Purushaha. I explained to you long ago. You may not remember now. Shodasha Kala Purushaha. The Sukshma Shariram is called Shodasha Kala Purushaha. Okay, 16 parted being. But here this Upanishad presents only 15. How? I'll tell you the reason. 5 Jnana Indriyani, 5 Pranaha, 5 Karmendriyani. What happens to them? Antahkaranam will resolve for good. When Ajnanam goes, Antahkaranam will resolve. Okay, there are no more Antahkaranam. These 15, what happens? That is said here. Now you know very well, Antahkaranam also is the subtlest matter, product of sattvic aspect of the five elements. And pranas are the products of rajasic aspect of elements. So Jnanendriyani and Antahkaranam are products of sattvic aspect of elements. Pranas and Karmendriyani are products of rajasic aspects of elements. So they all resolve in their corresponding devatas. Every power has its corresponding total power. Every Shakti has its corresponding total power. So each deva, each power will join its own corresponding devata. Therefore, they remain as natural phenomena in the world. That's all. There's no more assumption of the body. The devata is actually the totality of each subtle individual power is called devata. So each power will resolve in its corresponding devata. So also pancha pranas also resolve in their own corresponding prana. One vital air associated involved in five different functions also will resolve in air element. So everything will join its own corresponding elements. That is the one meaning of this mantra. There's also another meaning for this, which I will tell you next class. I'll see you soon in 10 minutes.